We bid you a good afternoon, Hanley. This lovely winter's day, sunshine. We hope and prayer that God, through His Son Jesus Christ, would shine the light of His Son into your hearts and minds and reveal Him to you in His grace and love and salvation. You would like to have a copy of God's Word that's offered to you quite freely without any cost or any obligation to you. The written Word of God is the only place where you find God's Word, the only place where you'll hear God's voice offered to you. It's really no cost, no obligation to you. And you'd like to have a copy of God's Word, feel free to come and ask us for one. Gladly place into your hands. Who knows, as you read God's Word, maybe, you know, He gives you the light, gives you the understanding that's needed, that's required, you know, for a person to close with Jesus Christ, come to that place of knowing Him and knowing the love of God in Jesus Christ, knowing the grace of God, His forgiveness, which of course we all need, all being sinners as it were. We all need the forgiveness of God, the grace of God. And the grace of God, of course, well, the Bible testifies the free grace of God, freely. God graciously and freely forgives, pardons sinners through His Son, Jesus Christ. Of course, no other way by which a man or woman can be right with God, brought into a right status, as it were, before God, and forgiven, cleansed, and fit for life, fit for living, fit for God, and of course, one day, fit for heaven. The stakes are very high. You've got a soul that will be in existence for all eternity. Where will you spend eternity? It's an old question, but still a very valid one. The stakes are very high. Your eternal destiny hangs upon what you do with what I speak to you about here this afternoon. I hope in our prayer that God would grant to you that which you need more. I say more than you need to breathe, His Son Jesus Christ, His beloved and only begotten Son, who came into the world, the Bible tells us, to save sinners, not to make us healthy, wealthy, prosperous, but to save sinners, save us from our worst enemy within. So, as I say, it's the Word of God, not my opinion, and not my friend's opinion. It's God's opinion. When God wrote the Bible, He did not ask for, He did not consider the opinions of men. He gave us only His opinion, His truth, concerning Himself, and concerning our state and condition, and concerning our great and deep need. And of course, ultimately concerning His Son, Jesus Christ. These are they, the Scriptures, the Bible, these are they which testify of me, Jesus says. It's there that you'll find the Christ of the Bible, the Jesus, the one who saves, not the Jesus spoken about in the world, or in world religions, sects and cults, but the Jesus of the Bible. He's the only one who saves, who reconciles to God. It's Him that you need. And to find Him, you need to examine carefully the pages of the Bible. And why, again, as I say, we offer to you a copy of God's Word in order that you might do that thing. Seriously contemplate the Son of God who came into the world to save sinners. So, I say again, you would like to have a copy of God's Word, and do feel free to come and ask for one. Word of God for you here, Hanley, this afternoon. Thou, God, that is, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. What an encouragement, huh? What an encouragement are these words. You won't find this. You won't find this in the world. You won't find this in the world's religions. You only find it in God. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. The way to life. The path to life. Life that is out of death. Life is what the gospel is all about. God is the God who gives life, and breath to all creatures, and gives it to you also. God is the giver of life, he's the sustainer of life, and he's the one who takes life away. He's the one who brings it an end as when it pleases him. But of course, we need this life. This life, Jesus says, He is the life, he is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. He tells us, and no man, he says, cometh to God but by me. Life, I am the resurrection and life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Life is to be found only in Christ. Life that is over against what you call human existence. That's not life. There is no life apart from God, only death. Dead in trespasses and sins. You come into the world shapen in iniquity, the Bible says, in lawlessness, alienated from God right from the very start, with no life in you. An earthly existence, that's all that you're given. See, conceived, says God, in your mother's womb, begotten of sinful parents, and of course born into the world, a natural born sinner, dead in your trespasses and sins, alienated from God, from the life of God, and the life that is to be found only in Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the path to life. It's Jesus that you need. Thou wilt show me the path of life. Well, he shows you. He shows you the path of life. Where, you say? In the Bible, in the Holy Scriptures, in the Word of God. There, Jesus Christ, that life, there he is revealed. And the one, of course, who is able with much power, able to raise you from the deadness, your deadness, dead in your trespasses and sins, not a little bit dead, not a big bit, but totally, completely dead, alienated, cut off from the life of God, no life in you, just an earthly existence that very soon will come to an end, will come to a close. 70 years and 10, and maybe one or two more, by the grace, the kindness of God. But it is appointed. It's inevitable. Death is inevitable. It's appointed unto man once to die. After that then comes the judgment. Death is inevitable and judgment is inescapable. Before you come to that place, you see, there has to be a resurrection. There has to be a raising of your soul from death to life. Thou wilt show me the path of life. Jesus, He is the path. He is the way into life. There is no other who can give you life. He's the author of life. No life apart from God in Jesus Christ. Just a miserable earthly existence, that all. That's all that comes to a close for some sooner rather than later. For some, maybe later, but inevitably, it comes to a close, it comes to an end, just like all the rest of humankind. You cock your toes up and you go out of this world. That day comes, you know, when you put your socks on in the morning, but you don't take them off at night. It's the undertaker who does it. And very few people, I tell you, are ready for that day. Very few people are prepared. For the most of them, it takes them by surprise. It shocks them. I wasn't ready for this. Why do you think it is that men and women fear death? It's called, in the Bible, it's called the King of Terror. Why do you think it is that we fear death? Because it's not natural to man. Man was not made to die. Death has come by sin, and sin by one man, and comes upon us all. Passes through the generations, one after another, and so that time will come inevitably, when you will breathe your last and go out of this world, and that's not the end, that's not the finish of you. That soul that God has given you will still be in existence in 100 and 1,000,000 years' time. But the question is, where? Well, unless you pass from death to life, unless there's been a resurrection, not religion, that's not enough. There's many of you here in Hanley this afternoon, religious. Some of you, few of you, very few of you, that would be churchgoers, mosque goers, temple goers, all kinds of, all manner of religion amongst you here in Hanley today, but dead religion. Dead religion. How can a dead man produce, how can a dead man like Muhammad produce a living religion? How can a dead pope produce, construct a living religion? Not possible. These men, just as dead as you are in your trespasses and sins, dead men cannot produce life. Only the ever-living Savior, the one who did die but arose again from the dead, the one who's alive and alive forevermore, dead and buried and raised again, ever-living and life-giving, giving life. He's the path to life. Thou wilt show me the path of life, or to life rather, of life, of life. Jesus Christ, He is the light. And the moment that you connect with Jesus by faith, His life begins to flow into you, into the sinner that is. He came, He tells us that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And what have you got? You've got religion abundantly. Huh? You've got atheism abundantly. You've got death abundantly, but you've got no life in you. Thou, God, will show you the path of life. His Son, Jesus Christ, revealed to you in Holy Scripture, revealed to you in the Bible, that you might have life, close with life, trust life, believe in life, in Jesus Christ, that is. He is the way to life. He is the truth that sets men free, liberates them from death. And He is the life itself. You believe in Jesus, and you get life, and you get life more abundantly. That's what He came for. You see the mighty deeds that He did. Not only did He speak mighty words, but He did mighty works. He did the works that only God Himself could do. Cleansing lepers, giving eyesight to the blind, and raising the dead. If you won't believe me, says Jesus, because of my works, then He says, believe because of my works, because of that which I have done. He did that which only God could do. Why? Because He is God, manifest in the flesh. He's the creator of life. He's the giver of life, sustainer of life. And He's the one who eventually one day will take this earthly existence from you. Cause you to breathe your last. Nobody just simply dies. That doesn't happen. It's not cancer, it's not COVID, it's not disease, it's not war, it's not accidents that kill people. It's God who brings your earthly existence to an end, to a close, in His good time. It's marked on God's calendar. The day when you will breathe your last, the very hour, the moment. It's appointed, divinely appointed. The moment when you'll breathe your last and go out of this world. God takes men and women. They don't just happen to die. It's all planned from beginning to end. Your earthly existence. You're even your being here today under the sound, under the voice of a preacher telling you the way of life. In the providence of God, it's fallen to you to hear the gospel, the good news that brings life. Religion doesn't do that. Only the gospel does. It's the gospel of life. It's the gospel that brings life. Brings life from the dead. It's the path of life, the gospel. That's why it's called the gospel. Because it's good news. Quran's not good news. There's nothing but death in that. Popes and encyclicals, nothing but death in them. The Watchtower Society, all your religions, nothing but death in them. Death. Dead religions. Smell of a stinking corpse over the whole lot of it. Christ. Rise up and go to Christ. He'll give you life. He alone can give you life. He alone can raise you from the dead and give you life. Why, He says to a religious man, religious just like a Pharisee, just like Muhammad's variety, just like the Pope's crowd, dead men, religious but dead men walking. And He talks to the religious man and He tells him what? He says, you must be born again. He says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot live, because the kingdom of God, a kingdom of living people, not dead people. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who walked the face of this earth something like 6,000 years ago, but still alive, says Jesus. He's the God of the living, not the dead. You're still in your death, still dead in your trespasses and sins. He's not your God. He's not your God. You're alienated from Him, separated from Him by your deadly sin. But He will show you the path to life. He shows you the path to life. He brings the path of life before you here in Hamley this afternoon. As I lift my voice up amongst you and lift Jesus Christ up before you, set Him before you, crucified, dead and buried, and raised again from the dead, and living forevermore, and giving life to dead sinners the world over. Not so many in Hanley today. Not so many in Hanley today. In the grip of godlessness, in the grip of atheism, in the grip of dead religion, with no life in you, no life of God in you. I ask you, you religious person here in Hamley this afternoon, have you got the life of God in your soul? No, no, you haven't. Your religion can't give you that. Neither can your atheism, neither can your godlessness. Only Christ can give you life. He is the way, He is the truth, He is the life. He's alive and of a living Savior. Not a dead prophet you need. What good's a dead prophet to you? Muhammad's dead and buried. His body lies a moulding in the grave, just like John Brown. What good's he to you, I ask you? The Pope died, was it last week? Well, one of them, another one, cocked his toes up and go to this world. Just like you will one day, just like I will. So what good's a dead Pope to you? What good's a dead prophet to you? No good whatsoever. It's a living Savior that you need. One who will never die. And one who has the ability, who has the power, because of his risen life, has the power to give life to whosoever he wills to give it to. And how does he give that life? How does he cause a man, a woman to be born again? Well, he breathes his life into their soul. And how does he do it? By the preaching of the gospel. By that which I'm doing here this afternoon, telling you the good news, telling you about the path of life. That's how he does it. Foreign to you, strange to you, weird to you, foolish to you, even. That's what God says in his word. Those who are perishing in their sin, those who are dead, those who are devoid of the life of God, their soul, the preaching of the gospel to them is foolishness, evidence that they're on the pathway to perdition, to hell, that is. Because that's the end of dead sinners. That's the end. That's the end of dead sinners. The flames, the fires of hell, where their torment ascended up forevermore. So before you come to that time, that place where you breathe your last, wherever it might be, however it might come to you, well, you need Jesus. You need him to give you life. You need him to breathe life into your soul. That's what it means to be born again. You must, says Jesus, ye must be born again. No other way you can enter God's kingdom. You can be religious, that's not the same thing. No, religion doesn't do that for you. To be born again is Jesus Christ, my Lord, breathing life into a dead soul, resurrecting it, making it alive. That's what it means to be born again. So I ask you, Hanley sinners, have you been born again? Is there a day that you can point to and say, that's when I was born again. That's when Jesus came to me. That's when he raised me from my grave. That's when he took the grave clothes off, made me alive, and gave me his righteousness. Lest you can, lest there's a day that you can point to, a time that you can point to, when Jesus made you alive, when he raised you from the dead, then you're still dead in your sin. And if you die in your sin, you'll be lost for all eternity. The path of life is only open to sinners now in this world. When you breathe your last, when your soul, when the breath of life is extinguished in you, it's too late then. It's too late then. Then you're before the judgment throne of God. Then you're there to give account to God for your sins, and even for this time when you were shown the path of life, but would not listen, would not hearken, would not even stop to consider, would not take even the written word of God to examine and see whether these things were so or not, stood before the judge of God in your deadly state and condition, with the poison of sin all over you and in you still, clothed in your filthy rags of your self-righteousness, and God says to you, you are so self-righteous, you are too self-righteous to even listen, to even consider what my servant told you. That winter afternoon in Hanley Center, you would have nothing to do with it. I would have shown you the path of life. I would have raised you from the dead. I would be sending you to heaven now. If only you had listened, if only you had taken heed, if only you had done what my servant told you to do, repent and believe the gospel, you would have been alive forever, no more. But now, your end is the damnation of hell. Get out of my sight. Get out of my sight. I never knew you. That will be God's judgment upon you. In that day, when you stand before Him as you must, death is inevitable. Judgment is inescapable. Out of my sight. I never knew you. That's the end, unless you take the path of life. Enter into the path of life through the straight gate and down the narrow pathway that leads to life. Few there be, says Jesus. Few there be, the multitudes, the masses of humanity. They enter in at the wide gate. And they travel the broad pathway, the one that leads to everlasting destruction. That's the majority. That's the majority. That's the masses of humanity, fuel for the fires of hell. And that's the majority. That's the majority of the occupants of Hanley this afternoon. Because you won't be entreated. Because you won't listen. Because you won't hear. Because you won't repent. Because you won't believe. Because you won't enter into the path of life. But Jesus, He's the path. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. He's the only way to life. No life without Jesus. You just remain in your deadness. He goes on to say, in thy presence is fullness of joy. In the presence of God, that is. Presence of God, of course, into which the living enter in. In the presence of God, joy. Oh, extreme joy, I tell you. Great joy. Fullness of joy, not happiness. Happiness is what the world gives you. Happiness is what the drugs give you. Happiness is what your religion gives you, briefly. Happiness is what the alehouse gives you. Happiness is what the materialism gives you. Happiness is what you get, you know, when you get your own selfish way. Yeah? Happiness that is brief, very brief, only transient, just momentary. Not joy. Joy, you see, is a lasting thing. Joy is something that never fades. It never diminishes. It stays. It stays with the sinner that Jesus makes alive. In the presence of God, you see, that's where they live and have their being after they've been made alive by Jesus. They live in the presence of God. And that's a joyful place to be. Why? Well, because they know that they've got life. They know that they've got life eternal. They know that they've got life everlasting. They know that they shall never die. They know that they have eternal life. My sheep hear my voice. They follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, says Jesus. Jesus doesn't make a person alive, doesn't make a sinner alive to let them die again. No, they've got life forevermore, eternal, everlasting life. And that's a great source of joy to those that Jesus has made alive. There's a joy, of course, that's foreign to dead sinners. They know nothing about that. They know something of the happiness of this world, momentary, transiently, you know, just for a season, just for a few moments, but soon, very soon, you're back to your old misery again, because that's all that sin can give you. Sin can't give you joy. It might give you happiness, it might give you fleeting happiness. You know, the sexual pleasure experience, or the drink, or the drugs, or the material, the bigger house, the extension to the house, happiness, you know, just for a short time. But then, of course, you're wanting, you're coveting something else, because you're never satisfied. Because nothing created can satisfy the human soul. Only God can do that. Only Jesus Christ can do that. But that's what he does, you see, for dead sinners whom he makes alive by the gospel. They live and they have their being evermore in the presence of God, and there's joy, there's fullness of joy, because they've been raised from the dead, because they're alive. And a life forevermore, just as their Savior. But another cause for their joy, of course, is that they're forgiven. They're forgiven all that they ever did that was contrary to God, contrary to His love, contrary to His law. Everything that they ever done has been forgiven. On some of us, we were the worst of sinners, I tell you. Oh, some you can read of in the Bible. They were manslayers. They were murderers. But they received life. Jesus gave them life. Not because they deserved it. No, not because they merited it. Not because they were religious. Jesus gave them life. He raised them from the dead. And now they live with great joy, fullness of joy, because they know that they've been forgiven. Oh, some of us, we've done the most atrocious things. Things that we never believed it was possible that we could ever be forgiven. But God forgave us. God pardoned us. And now there's no condemnation. None at all for the person who is in Christ Jesus, trusting in Christ Jesus, that is. There's no condemnation, none at all, because Jesus has paid it all, paid the price in full for the sins of those whom he has made alive, raised from the dead, that is, resurrected. Saved. Some of them were saved from their religion, man. Some of them were plucked out of the Mohammed's crowd. Some of them were rescued from the clutches of the Pope and his entourage. Oh, yes, some of them. All kinds, all stripes of sinners, I tell you. The most respectable and the most degenerate. But all made alive in Jesus, given life from the dead, pardoned, forgiven, no condemnation, now or evermore, completely and totally forgiven, the slate wiped clean altogether, in the love of God. Come now, saith the Lord, and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. It's the gospel, it's the good news, Hanley sinners, that there is forgiveness with God, that he may be feared, a forgiving, a pardoning God, who casts sins and iniquities of his people, whom he makes alive. He casts their sins into the depths of the sea, where they can no longer ever be found again, even by God himself. So you see, it's a cause for joy. Joy, fullness of joy, not the fleeting happiness of this world, not the happiness that's here today and gone tomorrow. That's the world's happiness, not that. Fullness of joy, a joy, says Jesus, that no man can take from you. Oh, they might mock you because you belong to Jesus. They might reject you. They might revile you. They might hate you. They might persecute you. They might even kill you. But they can't take your joy away once Jesus gives it to you. So you see, eternal life, forgiveness, fullness of joy in the presence of God. They never dreamed imaginable. Sinners as they were, dead in their sins, just like Hanley sinners here this afternoon. They lived with the existence in his world, drank his water, ate his food, and never returned thanks to him. Did all that and more, took everything that God had given them and used it in the service of sin and self. Never thought for a moment they could ever see or know the presence of God. And to live in the presence of God. But that's the portion. That's the portion. Hanley sinners. For those that Jesus makes alive, raises from the dead, shows the path of life, brings them into the path of life and into the presence of God. Here there is fullness of joy, never-ending, unquenchable joy for your misery, Hanley. All the misery that sin brings upon you, away, taken away, and given life, life from the dead. Oh, go to Jesus. He's the path to life. No other. At thy right hand there are pleasures, says the word of God. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. Those at the right hand of God are those who have been declared righteous by God. And how are they made righteous by God? Through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ, sent into the world to bear, to take the penalty of sin upon himself. He was made sin. He who knew no sin was made sin. The sin of the world was heaped upon him. He bore it all, paid it all, so that the sinner, the Hanley sinner even, who trusted Jesus, who believes in Jesus, God immediately, that moment that they believe, that they trust in, that by faith they connect with Jesus, that very moment God declares them to be righteous. Perfectly righteous in his Son Jesus Christ. And so therefore at the right hand of God they take their place. Accepted by God into his presence, and there to live they're to have their being, they're to know fullness of joy, and they're to enjoy pleasures forevermore, for pleasures, I tell you, that this world knows nothing about. Pleasures, I tell you, the world's religions know nothing about. Pleasures, all your world religions know about killing. Killing, Islam, the religion of peace, they call it. All over the world, they're killing people. Even as I speak now, they're killing people who disagree with them. Soon they'll be killing Hadley sinners. Won't be long. See, your rejection, you need to understand this, Hanley sinner. Your rejection, your despising of the gospel in this country of yours. God's taking the gospel away from you. And your national religion before long will be the killing Islamic religion. And they'll be killing some of you, lest of course you join them. Murderous religion, Roman Catholicism, just the same. It's the same paganism, just a different dress, that's all. Hinduism, your prime minister's religion, they kill and burn women and children in places like India and Pakistan. Burning, killing, hateful, scourging religion. Pleasure in Islam. Pleasure in Romanism. Pleasure in your world's religion. Pleasure in your atheism. I don't see any pleasure in your God-forsaken society today. I tell you, God is taking the gospel away from you because you've despised it, you've rejected it, and it will not return to this land again. It will not. But presently, in the meantime, God yet sends his servants amongst you to lift up their voices, much to your displeasure, lift their voices amongst you in order to show you the path of life, in order that you might have fullness of joy, in order that you might have pleasures forevermore, in order that you might live, in order that you might be resurrected, in order that you might be raised out of your grave, out of your misery, and into the fullness of joy, and into the pleasures that are to be found only in the presence of God, living for him and serving him. So Hanley, the path of life, the way to life, the only way to life, the one that I declare to you here this afternoon, Jesus Christ, I am the way, the truth, and the life. None other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. No other name. Life is to be found in Jesus Christ, the Jesus Christ of Holy Writ, Holy Scripture, that is. That Jesus. You come to him, you get life. He bids you to come unto me, he says. He bids you. He says, repent. He says, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish in your sins, that is. God now commanded all men, everywhere, to repent. It's imperative, you must. Repent ye. Hanley, repent ye. Turn from your sin. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. and let him return unto the Lord. He will show mercy, abundantly pardon, give life from the dead, make you alive, make you to live for the first time in your earthly existence. Risen life of Christ in you. In the way, in the path of life, in the way of life, in the way back to God from the dark path of sin, in Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. Repent ye, heavenly sinners, today. Repent ye, and believe the gospel. For the kingdom of God, the life-giving kingdom of God, is at hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart again, but turn. Repent ye and believe the gospel, kindly sinner. You'd like to have a copy of God's word offered to you freely. No cost, no obligation to you. You're simply and only for the taking. You'd like one, you come and ask for one, gladly placed freely into your hands. Like a copy of God's word, come and ask for one. May God bless you, heavenly sinners. May he bless you with life from the dead. May he bless you with fullness of joy. May he bless you with pleasures evermore. May he bless your souls, heavenly sinners. Like a copy of God's word, you come and ask for one. May God bless you.